This is Agriculture Today.
On Wednesday, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, U.S. Trade Ambassador Jameson Greer framed China's tighter controls on critical minerals as economic coercion and warned of potential U.S. responses. They reiterated that the goal is to de-risk supply chains rather than fully decouple, but said tariff options, including triple-digit rates previously floated, remain on the table. Possible leader-level engagement was described as a path to cool tensions, even as agencies coordinate with allies on contingency plans. Now, the remarks did not spotlight ag directly, yet the implications are clear. Rare earth and tech component constraints can ripple into precision ag equipment, motors, sensors, and power electronics. That raises cost or lead times for dealers and co-ops. If tariff escalation proceeds or if Beijing counters, headline risk typically shows up first in bulk channels tied to China. Now, the escalation in tensions with China comes as that country has pivoted to South America away from the U.S. to fill their needs for soybeans and other ag commodities. But on a related note, Brazilian trade officials in Washington looking for a path to improve trade relations with the Trump administration. Recently, Brazil hit with a high tariff rate that has cut supply lines leading back to the U.S. The latest National Oilseed Processors Association, or NOPA, crush report shows a soybean crush of 186.3 million bushels. It's the fourth highest monthly total on record. NOPA's members account for nearly all U.S. processing capacity, so the figure, a good snapshot of processor demand. A crush this large during the harvest transition points to expanded plants and steady pulls for soybean meal and oil. At the same time, soybean oil stocks, 1.243 billion pounds, that's above the average market estimate, bigger than expected oil inventories, suggests supply a bit more ample than traders anticipated. And for markets, that mix usually means supportive crush margins, but a watch list for product pricing. Mill strength can add bids near processors, while heavier oil stocks can pressure soybean oil values and influence board crush basis and renewable diesel economics until draws improve. Well, a new WTO dashboard offers faster reads on trade. It's useful when official series lag, and the first pass on U.S. ag shows a split picture. Year-to-date through July, farm exports slightly below last year, while imports are higher. It underscores tighter margins for some processors and steady competition on grocery shelves. Now, according to the tool, U.S. ag exports total just under $102 billion in that first 6 months, 7 months of the year, versus ag imports at $136.1 billion. So down on ag exports by 1.6 year over year, and ag imports up 8% year over year. July ran a $13.5 billion in ag exports. That alone up 1.4% year over year, but ag imports up 4.6%. It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Last Wednesday evening, China announced a sweeping expansion of its export controls on rare earth elements and rare earth processing equipment, as well as technologies related to batteries, vehicles, industrial diamonds, and super hard materials.
Speaking at a press conference on Wednesday, U.S. Trade Ambassador Jamison Greer on China.
To be clear, this is not just about the United States. These actions, if implemented, would apply to the entire world. China's announcement is nothing more than a global supply chain power grab. While China has taken a number of retaliatory trade actions against the United States, Europe, Canada, Australia, and others in recent years, this move is not proportional retaliation. It is an exercise in economic coercion on every country in the world. At its core, China's new measures include a rule saying that any product of which more than 0.1% of minerals consist of minerals mined or processed in China, one must seek approval from the Chinese government before trading it. Since many important semiconductors, for example, have these critical minerals, and semiconductors are in nearly everything, this rule gives China control over basically the entire global economy and the technology supply chain. This will impact artificial intelligence systems and high-tech products, but even regular consumer items like cars, smartphones, and potentially even household appliances could be affected. It would also apply to many items that are necessary for defense purposes. And again, it covers the whole world. For example, if a smartphone is made in Korea and sold to Australia, then the company would first need to get China's approval, since the phone contains semiconductors, which may contain rare earths sourced from China. Or if a car is built in America and sold in Mexico, you would need to seek approval from China before making the sale because of the chips in the car. Obviously, neither we nor our allies are going to go along with that kind of system. Many are suggesting that China's action is simply posturing for leverage in negotiations with the United States. While that may be one element of China's approach, it's obvious that these controls are part of a broader plan by China to control the world's supply chains. And these controls are wildly out of proportion to any targeted actions by the United States or its allies over the past few months. Others have suggested that the United States has violated a non-existent agreement with the Chinese regarding export controls or the implementation of measures. This is a false narrative deployed to justify these broad and unacceptable Chinese actions. There is, in fact, a published agreement between the United States and China from earlier this year that the U.S. and China would suspend tariffs of over 100% on each other. China further agreed to effectively suspend elements of its rare earths export control regime by expeditiously approving licenses for U.S. companies seeking rare earths. Both countries agreed to this pause on tariffs and rare earth measures for 90 days while we pursued further negotiations, which have gone on quite successfully for the past 6 months. And there is a published agreement about this on official U.S. government and Chinese websites. This is the Geneva Agreement. It's not a secret. It's out there. It's published. We keep our tariffs low. They keep the rare earths flowing. We have not imposed our reciprocal tariffs on the Chinese since that time, but now the Chinese have expanded their rare earth controls. We have complied. They have not. And so in this context, this is how China has announced its new and extremely expansive controls on rare earth materials just last week. It's a clear repudiation of everything we've been working toward for the last 6 months, which was a stable tariff situation and a continued flow of rare earths. The short story is that we've had compliance and the Chinese have escalated, and they've taken this opportunity to make a pretextual claim of noncompliance or other measures to justify this. But the United States won't stand for it. We're in close communication with our allies who have expressed similar views and who are similarly affected. The President has signaled some of the actions we are taking or may take if the Chinese implement this system of controls on the world.
It's Agriculture Today.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Obviously, that is going to be kind of what's on the center stage now. They've been working pretty hard on this peace deal. Finally looks like they have it. Finally looks like it's going to hold.
On the hills of Middle East peace, what could peace in the Black Sea region mean for fertilizer and fertilizer prices? Josh Linville is with StoneX.
From a strict fertilizer standpoint, unfortunately, it doesn't have a whole lot of impact. Israel, you know, produces a little bit of potash. They export natural gas to Egypt, which produces nitrogen fertilizer. But we don't expect that this is going to have any sort of a fundamental change on the fertilizer markets. However, with this one now set aside, the biggest fight that's going on out there continues between Russia and Ukraine. That means the whole of the world can now focus its efforts there, and that could have massive impacts. When you look around the world, places like Australia, Canada, a lot of Europe have all refused to do business with Russia, and that has changed global trade flows. Russia's exports of UAN and anhydrous have been down significantly since the start of this invasion, for either a lack of destinations for UAN or an inability to export anhydrous like they used to. So if peace can be found, we feel like those can start to return to normal. Even bigger, if peace can be found and part of that peace structure be that Russia demands gas start flowing back to Europe, well, then European natural gas prices fall down. European natural or nitrogen fertilizer production can ramp back up to 100%. Now, all of a sudden, we've removed one of the major shortfalls of supply out there. So if we can now get our focus on those two, if we can find some sort of a structure where they find peace, they back off of each other, that could be a major domino that could start to fall and dip into the next one, start bringing prices back down to what we would consider normal.
Well, what about Chinese exports? Linville explains.
Yeah, the last couple of months for China has been fantastic from an export point of view. They have been exporting a lot of urea. They've been exporting a lot of phosphate since July, which was completely expected. We are right up on that October 15th date when they are supposed to start slowing and stopping their export flow. And unfortunately, at this point, we don't know what they're going to do. We still have not heard any official revisions to that or a statement saying we are going to uphold this date. And they control a lot of cards here. If they all of a sudden just shut down, say, nope, we said October 15th, we're going to hold October 15th, those export flows stop. And suddenly the global urea market and the global phosphate market suddenly feel a little bit tighter supplied. All of a sudden, there's a little less competition. Manufacturers and sellers love that type of a situation. If they do extend it, I think you're going to see the bottom start to get a little bit weaker. All of a sudden, your buyers are going to, you know, pull back a little bit harder. Your sellers are going to be a little bit more aggressive. So unfortunately, right now, it seems like a coin flip. Everybody's got an opinion, but nobody has a fact.
And finally, on the topic of India.
At this point, we think there's going to be a tremendous amount of tons offered. If you remember back in the last tender, they got 5.6 million tons offered. It was a tremendous amount, and they only bought 2 million ton. So we think there's a lot of those tons still floating out there looking for somewhere to go. They'll be able to be offered to it. There's also a shipment window that goes through December 10th. That's a very long time. That's a lot of days where product can be produced and offered in this tender. And then that doesn't even include what happens if China extends their window. So we are expecting a lot of tons to be offered. Just at this point, a lot of the expectation is that this is going to be a little bit on the bear side. But with all things India tender, we have to wait until that final awards total before we can tell the story. We've been, had tendered before. It's bearish. It's bearish. It's bearish. And also we get the awards total. It's like, wow, how in the world would that turn bullish? So we need to wait and see what happens with it. We may not get that answer until sometime late next week.
That's Josh Linville with StoneX. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
This is Agriculture Today.
As the president has said, we want to help China, not hurt it.
Speaking Wednesday in Washington, D.C. at a press event, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent.
If some in the Chinese government want to slow down the global economy through disappointing actions and through economic coercion, the Chinese economy will be hurt the most. And make no mistake, this is China versus the world. They have put these unacceptable export controls on the entire world. China is a command and control economy, and we and our allies will neither be commanded nor controlled. They are a state economy, and we are not going to let a group of bureaucrats in Beijing try to manage the global supply chains. As Ambassador Greer said, we had a document and an agreement in Geneva, and magnets were flowing quite well. Some U.S. auto companies have called us in the past week and said that there had been a slowdown in magnets. So when we asked the Chinese about this, they said, oh, it probably had something to do with the holiday. Had something to do with the holiday. So they can't be trusted with the global supply chain. Had something to do with the holiday. Moreover, we should... This should be a clear sign to our allies that we must work together, and work together we will. There will be a series of meetings this week during World Bank IMF week, and we are all aligned. Not only is China fueling Russia's war, but China's actions have once again demonstrated the risk of being dependent on them, on rare earths, and for that matter, anything. If China wants to be an unreliable partner to the world, then the world will have to decouple. The world does not want to decouple. We want to de-risk. But signals like this are signs of decoupling, which we don't believe China wants. And again, we do not want to decouple. We should work together to de-risk and diversify our supply chains away from China as quickly as possible. China says that these rare earths are used in military materials and that they want to maintain peace in the world. Again, it is the purchase of Russian oil by China that fuels the Russian war machine. China buys 60% of Russian energy. They buy 90% of Iranian energy. So who is fueling the Russian war machine? We will be producing photos soon, supplied to us by the Ukrainian government, that shows Chinese parts comprise substantial amounts of Ukrainian drones. So President Trump is the leader of peace. We should work together to de-risk and diversify. China's highly provocative move comes after we have made significant efforts to de-escalate tensions. While there are substantial actions we could take, we'd rather not. I believe China is open to discussion, and I am optimistic that this can be de-escalated. Ultimately, we are confident in the strong relationship between President Trump and President Xi. We've had substantial communication with the Chinese over the past few days, and we believe that there will be more forthcoming this week.
Will the two leaders still meet?
I will say that I believe, as of last time I saw President Trump, which was last night, he is still expecting to see Party Chair Xi in Korea.
And it's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton, to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at deltapine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
I have our exports at 110 million bushels less than USDA. That brings total use to 4.230 billion bushels, ending stocks to 427 million bushels.
Normally, we might be talking USDA reports, but Arlen Suderman with StoneX says government shutdown has taken those away.
Now, it's interesting. The pre-report estimates for today's report from the industry still have ending stocks at 299 million bushels. Despite the surplus stocks reported on September 30th, despite the fact that China hasn't bought anything. So does that mean the industry is naive to what's going on? No, they're predicting what USDA will do. They expect USDA to continue to look at this through rose-colored glasses. And there is somewhat of a culture, I believe, within China, within USDA to solve for a certain level. And so they probably will try to put off the bad news until they know more, because who knows? Maybe President Trump will get a trade agreement dealing with commodities from President Xi when he meets him in South Korea at the end of this month. And so USDA probably would have kicked the can down the road on cutting exports. Now, in reality, when I look at what China normally would have taken from us to this point, I look at the window that tends to close at the end of January into February for U.S. to sell soybeans or ship soybeans to China. I look at what it's already booked from South America to fill its needs, and I estimate that it's already lost at least 375 million bushels worth of demand from China. So in reality, that export number should already be 1.5 billion bushels, which would push ending stocks over 500 million bushels. Now, I wouldn't expect USDA to do that in today's report if it actually did have today's report, but that's what the risk is. Now, my next column here, I show what if they don't buy any soybeans from us, and I use a generous 1.4 billion bushel export number. The largest amount of non-China business we've ever done before was a little over 1.2 billion bushels. I do believe, though, if China buys everything from South America, they will squeeze some customers out of the South American ports who will come here. And so I'm saying 1.4 billion. That could push ending stocks to 600 million bushels. On the other hand, if he gets a deal for large purchases and they purchase it simply to build their reserves up, because they won't put Brazilian beans into their reserves and Argentine production is somewhat undependable. So be kind of a one-time escalation of purchases to build their reserves. And let's say exports go to 1.745 billion. That's still 130 million bushels less than last year. That would drop ending stocks to 257 million bushels, 5.9% stocks to use ratio. And according to historical trends, would justify marketing your average cash price at $12.95. That's a big upward adjustment from where we are today. So you have the potential for a bullish assessment if, in fact, we do get a big trade deal with China. Now, what China has already committed from South America, if you look at what our cash sources have told us, there's about 11 million metric tons, so let's say 400 million bushels worth of demand that they have not filled yet for between now and the end of January. So maybe there's some type of deal where they buy that 400 million bushels from us. That could give us something around that 400 to 450 million bushel ending stocks estimate. There's nothing bullish about that. You need to have more of a blockbuster deal to start turning this thing bullish. Question is, can that happen?
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Demet, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Thank you all for being here at Treasury today in the midst of this shutdown.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessin speaking to reporters on Wednesday.
We call on the moderate Democrats in the Senate to be heroes. Be heroes. Break away from the hive of radicalism and do something for the American people, because we are starting to cut into muscle here. We believe that the shutdown may start costing the U.S. economy up to $15 billion a day. And this is a decision the Democrats are making. And one of the reasons that they are not being held to task is because the mainstream media is not coming at them the way they would have if the Republicans were willing to keep the government closed. It is a very simple decision. Mike Johnson passed a clean CR. Leader Thune has the clean CR. Three Democrats have voted for it. And right here, right now, I'm calling for the moderate Democrats to be heroes. Be heroes and reopen the government for the American people.
This latest announcement from the Chinese, could this be someone who's gone rogue?
Perhaps the vice minister who showed up here with very incendiary language on August 28th has gone rogue. Perhaps he's gone rogue. So we don't know. But what we do know is, as Ambassador Greer said, any backfilling that the Chinese are trying to do in terms of narrative, this was well flagged. This individual with very disrespectful, and I'll tell you that we've had four rounds of talks, Geneva, London, Stockholm, and Madrid, and both sides approached them with great respect, and this individual did not. He showed up uninvited in Washington and said, quote, China will cause global chaos if the port shipping fees go through. So I don't believe that China wants to be an agent of chaos, and maybe they used to have the wolf warrior diplomats, so maybe he thinks he's a wolf warrior. We don't know.
Bessin joined by U.S. Trade Representative Ambassador Jameson Greer.
There is room for a positive economic relationship with China. There certainly is. And we would much rather be talking about that than constantly be talking about rare earths. To paraphrase the secretary in one of our recent meetings with the Chinese, this is the last time we want to be talking about rare earths with the Chinese. Fortunately, that is not the last time they want to be talking about it. The reality is there are a lot of areas where we can trade with the Chinese. Our trade is wildly imbalanced, so it needs to be more balanced. And there's a lot of, as the Secretary has said, areas of risk. And so we need to be trading in areas that are low risk, that are low sensitivity. And there are a lot of areas where both the Chinese and us can, frankly, pick and choose sectors and goods that we should be trading, and services for that matter. And that's where these talks should be focused. Instead, we're constantly focused on the Chinese chokehold on the world of rare earths and rare earth materials.
There's an article in the paper today, a large Chinese fashion retailer just opened on Fifth Avenue in New York. It's a competitor to Zara and H&M. We welcome that. We would also like to see more U.S. retailers on the ground in China, but Costco and Walmart have very big operations there. So again, our goal is not to decouple, it's to de-risk. I can guarantee you, when we were in Geneva and the tariffs were 145%, they were phased.
It's Agriculture Today.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.